1-800-SAVE-USA. And again, please don't forget, go before the Lord, ask what He would have you to give, and make that gift to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Make the gift right now. God bless you and be a blessing. And let the power of patience rule in your life.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck, a voice to the church, declaring a vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of a Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. For the next hour, they happen to be my views and, well, the views of Ambassador Henry Cooper. And Ambassador Cooper was in charge of the Sydney disarmament negotiations with the Soviets, certainly during the Reagan administration. And for the last number of years, he's really had an organization known as High Frontier, whose purpose is to try to get the United States to do what is logical to protect us from the very real danger of an electromagnetic pulse attack. Now, basically, this could either be an EMP attack, it could be a solar flare, but certainly electromagnetic impulses can wipe out our entire electronic grid. People don't understand that. It would be relatively easy to remedy this. A few hundred thousand, a few hundred million dollars, probably a couple of billion dollars at the most to take care of the entire situation. And yet, of course, nothing has been done. Congress had voted overwhelmingly at one point several years ago to actually take the steps to remedy the situation. But there's been an organized effort. It almost appears to be organized ever since then to block doing what is logical to protect America. There was an 8-year study done by Congress. Basically, it involved a number of scientists, some close to 8 to 10 scientists. They concluded in the year 2008 that, of course, if we did have an EMP attack or a solar flare strike America, why we could lose tens of millions of lives. The head of the commission said we could lose as many as 90% of the American people. And yet nothing is done. We seldom talk about this. We talk about the danger of the loss of 4 people over there in Libya. And yet, of course, at Benghazi. But we almost never mention the very real threat of an EMP attack. Ambassador Cooper, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
I'm pleased to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you bring our listeners up to date on what's going on? Because basically you're on the front lines of this battle, and it's not imaginary threat, is it?
Not at all. And I regret to tell you that we are, as you said, not paying the attention to it that we really should be. There are any number of people who could expose us to this electromagnetic pulse. Of course, Russia and China have long had this capability, but frankly, I'm more concerned about North Korea and particularly Iran, both of whom have tested nuclear weapons. There is a debate about how close they are to actually having a nuclear weapon. They could put on a long-range ballistic missile to attack us and create this kind of an effect either over the North or the South Pole, and I'd be happy to talk more about the differences between the two, because in one case we're defending against it, in the other case we're leaving the door wide open. And of course, Iran, if they get their hands on a nuclear weapon and made it to a ballistic missile, They have surrogate terrorists that they might pass that weapon to, and so we might even be attacked by terrorists to produce.
Demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and health care you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient from a garlic clove, when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly Ambassador Cooper was saying, we've known of the danger of an EMP attack going back for, it's really almost 60 years, back to 1952. But the information has been kept fairly well classified for whatever reason, and suddenly the initial report came out in 2004, the Congressional Commission report, going into the danger, certainly, of the EMP attack, and then again, the final report in 2008. This was a Congressional Commission, and they were able then to get this declassified so you can actually read the report, and basically it will tell you that this is not an imaginary threat. It's a very real threat from an EMP attack. It would simply destroy the civilization we have here in the United States. And Ambassador Cooper, you pick up the story.
Well, you basically hit the high points. If people want to read these reports, they can go to our webpage, which is simple to go to it, www.ifrontier.org. And if you look down the right-hand side of the webpage, you'll see reference the commission report.
That's highfrontier.org. Highfrontier.org. Go right ahead.
All one word, of course, in the, in the webpage. So this is information that is widely available. And most people have not really heard about this. We're finding that when I go around and I talk to people, in the little towns and even at the state level, people really really have not understood it. They don't know about it, and frankly, they don't appreciate the fact that Washington has not been paying attention to it either. And as a matter of fact, as you pointed out, for three Congresses in a row now, there have been legislation on the books that we couldn't even get out of committee. For the last two Congresses, they've been blocked by the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House of Representatives. Three Congresses ago, the bill was passed unanimously by a voice vote in the House, and at that time, the chairman of the committee, who's now blocking it, voted for it, and a single senator blocked it using the prerogatives, of course, of the Senate. And so we've been fighting this issue in Washington for quite some time, and to the point that some of us have become so frustrated with Washington, we're going to the states to try to get this message across and with the local people.
And I think it's amazing, a unanimous voice vote in the Congress, you know, to do something about this very real threat. It's not an imaginary threat, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very real threat. And basically then, of course, was blocked by one vote in the Senate. And now, since that time, they can't get it out of committee. And why not? I mean, certainly we give away a couple of billion dollars a year to Pakistan, and we give away a couple of billion dollars to other countries. Why can't we defend America? And it just doesn't make sense, Ambassador.
Well, I agree with you. And as best I can determine, it's the electric power industry, which is really behind the stagnation in Washington. And that's another reason for taking the message to the grassroots in this country, to make people aware that, you know, this is happening. And I believe that what's going on here is that the power companies, which grew up helter-skelter, I don't know how many, there are thousands of them across the country. There are three major interconnects, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and then Texas sort of has its own, as I understand it. But they're all made up of various size companies throughout. And they just don't want to be regulated by Washington. And I can understand and appreciate why people would just as soon keep Washington out of their business. On the other hand, there are some things that the federal government is supposed to do to protect the American people. I mean, you wouldn't want to fly on an airplane without having the regulations that are imposed by the FAA, for example. And I mean, nobody disputes that at this point, I believe. And I don't think the American people would object to a regulatory body paying attention to the power grid. I frankly believe that our nuclear reactor systems and so on are probably better prepared to deal with this. And that's a good thing, if I'm correct in that assumption. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission does have the authority to regulate what goes on at our nuclear power stations, the 100 or so nuclear power stations around the country. And that's a good thing, because if we lose the water that cools down the reactors and we have a meltdown, we could have 100 Fukushimas. And I assume your listeners know what I mean by this. Several years ago, we had an earthquake and a tsunami that ganged up on reactors in Japan. And what I'm describing happened. They lost the ability to cool down the power reactor, and they had a meltdown, and they released radiation that blew all the way to Tokyo, I believe, that much. And we'd have a disaster in this country if that happened. I'd like to believe that we've taken care of this in the power companies, but I'm not sure we have. We have fuel and diesel there operational in these systems to make sure that the water works if they lose the normal power. But I'm not sure we have enough fuel to make it last, and I'm not sure that we truly hardened the reactor systems as we would need to test to assure. If we did the kind of testing we did on our strategic systems to make sure that we could retaliate if the Soviets ever attacked us, then I'd have a lot more confidence. But we have not done anything like that, I believe, with any segment of the electric power grid in this country.
And I think the people really have to understand that there are three basic grids. There's an East Coast, West Coast, and then one down in Texas. And basically, there's the three separate ones. But in each separate one, they're all interconnected. So if one part of this were to go down, why suddenly the electricity would simply burn out the transformers. It would burn out everything. And there's no way to stop that once it gets started. Now, apparently, the state of Maine recently voted to separate itself or use whatever electronic facilities, I don't understand, but the state of Maine is going to try to divorce itself from the rest of the electronic grid in that area, so at least in Maine, they wouldn't have the whole electronic grid go down. Is that correct?
Well, that's what they're hoping to do. They're going through an upgrade of the grid in Maine, and Andrea Bolin, who's a member of the state legislature in Maine, came to understand the nature of this effect and really was a hero or heroine, if you will, in getting the folks in the state legislature to stand behind this, both in their House and in their Senate, and pass legislation requiring a serious study to make sure that the modification and the renovation that they're doing to the grid takes this into account and the upgrade. And we're still fighting with the power companies in Maine to make sure that takes place. So the battle's not over. In Virginia, there was a state senator who, Bryce Reeves is his name, who came to understand the nature of this threat and was able to get passed, I don't think, with a single negative vote in the House and the Senate, or the House of Delegates in the Senate, in the state of Virginia, to have a similar kind of study that's supposed to come back with a report, I think at the beginning of the next session, which is in January of 2015, not just to study whether or not there is a problem, it's presumed that there is a problem, and they're supposed to have recommendations on how to deal with not only EMP, but other threats to the national grid as well. It's come out in the press that people may have read. There was an attack on a station in San Jose in California that, frankly, if they'd lost that station in a critical way, Silicon Valley would have gone down. And part of the studies that have been done and made public indicated that if there are nine substations, they were reported, if they went down, it could be catastrophic across the grid of the entire United States. Now, whether that would be a meltdown and a permanent disaster with respect to the grid, I can't say. But this was an authoritative report based on a fellow who used to chair the Federal Emergency or Electric Regulatory Commission, which does have responsibilities, but they don't have any authority to direct action. And I believe he left his post there to go public and talk about this issue because he couldn't get the powers that be to take responses action because, you know, regarding his assessment.
But certainly that Congressional Commission report, and it basically is available on the Internet. You can get the whole thing, and I've read it all the way through. And they don't equivocate. They say that if we had either an EMP attack and or a massive solar flare that hit America, it would simply, they didn't equivocate. They said it would have a devastating effect on our grid, and it could last for years.
Right. And if you lose the grid, of course, you lose electricity. And the country is completely dependent upon that today. It would put us back to sort of the 18th century, but without the agriculture that was indigenous to the United States at the time. All of our food today, maybe not all, but most of our food for our cities and so on is just-in-time delivery. We see the problems of that whenever there are hurricanes or major disasters of one form or another. And, of course, there's help that comes in from outside the region. You can imagine what it would be like if there were no help to come in.
Well, it's a devastating thing to think about. And certainly, if anybody out there in the listening audience wants to know, that commission, Congressional 2008 Congressional Commission report is available. We actually have it. We could provide it for people, but we'd much rather they got it off the internet because it would be an awful job to turn those things out. But it's well worthwhile getting, well worthwhile reading. And the fact that this is not covered, first of all, it didn't, to my knowledge, it wasn't covered or well covered by any of the major means of communication in the United States. When it came out, and it was only sometime later when I learned from Ambassador Henry Cooper that the report was available. I read it, and I will tell you, it just scared you to death.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, the this is Dr. Stan, and Ambassador Cooper was just saying that there is a difference between certainly the EMP attack and certainly a solar flare, and certainly the EMP attack would certainly take out the transformers and the electric grid, but it would also attack anything like a pacemaker. It would attack the computers in cars. It would attack the computers that make up such an important part of our society, whereas an EMP attack would simply attack the electronic system itself. Is that a fair analysis?
Yeah, the solar flares, the big threat, that is the same kind of a threat to the power grid, and I don't want to understate the importance of the solar threat. But the reason I make a distinction is that there are some people who think that we're raising the EMP issue only to promote missile defenses, you know, as an excuse to build missile defenses. And so there are some folks who are on our side who want to say, well, we'll work on the solar storm and take care of this problem. And without getting into an argument with those people who ideologically oppose missile defense. The problem is that they can take care of the solar storm and still leave us vulnerable to the terrorist threat who could launch an EMP burst over our heads. If we solve the problem for the EMP of a nuclear explosion, then we automatically take care of the solar storm problem as well.
Well, would you tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your information, and any other sources of information they could get that would help them to understand this? Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is, I believe, one of the major threats facing America today, and you're just not hearing it discussed, you're not hearing it or reading about it, you're not hearing it anything on television about this, or very, very, very seldom. How can people get to your website and read about this and simply get the receive the website on a regular, pardon me, receive the your reports on a weekly basis? Are they biweekly or weekly?
Weekly. We try to get them out at least once a week, and sometimes there are two. But the webpage is www.highfrontier, all one word, .org. Not .com, but .org. And we'd be happy to look on there. You'll find a library of all of our past messages as well if you go to that webpage. I would like to also mention a coalition that we've put together of a lot of different organizations that are trying to work the EMP problem together. And it's stopemp.org, I believe, is the webpage for it. And you'll find a lot of video information from various speeches and talks and that sort of thing that are useful. Judge Jeanine, who has a program on Fox News, I think it's on Saturday and Sunday night, has really gotten the message on this. And she's had several programs where she's devoted a major part of the program to the EMP issue. And she's quite specific in calling out Congressman Fred Upton, and claims that the reason is that 60%, I think is the number she used, of his campaign finances come from the electric power companies, and that's why he's not doing anything. They're trying to block any effort to deal with this issue, which is really astonishing, because the judgment of people that I trust is that the cost is not enormous to take care of this. I have one friend who says we give more money every year to Pakistan, which has a lot of nuclear weapons, by the way, 100 or so in the public domain, and yet that we give more money to them than it would take to fix this problem across the grid. It's just astounding that we have this problem.
Well, now, have other countries protected themselves? In other words, has Russia or China or Israel or some of the European countries protected themselves from this threat?
Yes, they have. Israel has a serious program. Some of the other nations in Europe are doing it. Of course, the Russians and the Chinese have all the way along. They have been much more serious, as you know, Dr. Stan, about civil defense and were throughout the Cold War than we have been in this country more generally. So, yes, they take it quite seriously, and they work to harden it. One other thing worth mentioning is I assume your listeners know who Lloyd's of London is. It's, they're a major insurance company, and they've done their own study to evaluate, this issue and have done an assessment of the northeastern part of the United States where they judge we could have a major a problem. So, and they're doing this, of course, to try to work out annuity tables of what they would charge people and that sort of thing for insurance. I don't know how that's working out for them.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a threat. I mean, I don't know how to try to convince you that, I've been studying this for some time. Of course, Ambassador Cooper is certainly one of the leading experts on this. He leads the effort in High Frontier. But this is a threat that could destroy the infrastructure of our society. It's not imaginary. It's real. We've talked to a number of key people back in Washington, D.C. Some of them are frightened to death, but there's an organized effort to block the solution.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people believe that Miracle Food Soap really is a miracle. Miracle Food products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Also report to NORTHCOM.
Well, Ambassador Cooper is simply saying that he's working in South Carolina, where he has his retirement home. He's working with the National Guard there so that they would be able to pick up and certainly maintain some semblance of law and order if there were to be an EMP attack. Now, basically, this is not certainly imaginary. The Iranians have talked about the threat of an EMP attack. The North Koreans have talked and written about the threat of an EMP attack. And I'm certain that there are other people considering this as well. Certainly, I'm sure the Venezuelans are considering this. And would they be able to do this? Certainly, I believe you could probably buy a nuclear weapon if you had sufficient funds. And certainly, we know that North Korea, we know that Iran, we know that other countries do have access to certainly missiles. In fact, they've actually demonstrated that they could put these missiles up right over the central part of the United States if they wanted to, certainly on satellite. And yet the average American has no idea that this threat is not imaginary. It is very real. And I will tell you, having talked to people in Washington, D.C., many of them are very, very concerned about this. And yet you're not reading anything about it in the papers. You're not reading about it in the news, in the magazines. You're not hearing about it on radio and television. And you should be hearing about this every single day. And yet it's almost as if certainly this new information is being blacked out. And here is something that could totally destroy the infrastructure of our country. Our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Ambassador Cooper, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I don't know anybody who knows what's going on any more than Ambassador Cooper, who's been involved with this for some time, sounding the alarm. And of course, the reason you haven't heard of him, because it seems almost as if there's an organized effort to keep the American people from realizing that we have a not an imaginary, not a minimal, but a major threat. And of course, we have enemies out there that would have the capacity to launch an attack on America, an EMP attack. And the question is, will it come? Certainly, do you think that North Korea has the capacity? They have both the satellites and the nuclear weapons that we know of, don't they?
Yes, they do. And they can come at us, as I pointed out earlier, over the North Pole. And we have defenses to deal with those launches. That's a legacy, actually, of the Cold War. I think you know, Dr. Stan, I was the director of the Strategic Defense Initiative 20 years ago, and a little over 20 years ago, and laid out the plans for most of the missile defenses we have. At the time, we were primarily worried about the Soviet Union and threats that would come at us over the North Pole. So that's the way our radar is set up to look for the threat and the way our missiles are pointed to deal with it. But they can also launch satellites, as you said, and it turns out that both Iran and North Korea have launched satellites, and the way they put them up is they launch them to the south, to their south, which means they come over the United States going from south to north. We have not prepared to defend against that. And there are satellites up there right now. They have launched, I think North Korea, it's been reported the satellite's a payload is something over 200 pounds. In the case of Iran, it's over 400 pounds. Those are sufficient payloads to carry a nuclear weapon. And if it's on a satellite that's going over the United States a couple hundred miles up, you know, it doesn't have to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, so it doesn't take the design of an attack using a nuclear weapon where you have to go through the Earth's atmosphere and make sure that it doesn't burn up on re-entry. You just set it off above the atmosphere, and that's what creates the EMP that covers the entire United States. One bomb over Omaha would cover the whole United States, the continental United States.
Well, and I think that people really should know that. What is the Michael Maloof? Do you recall the title of Michael Maloof's book? We actually carry that.
It's what is it?
My secretary is on the A Nation Forsaken.
Is it Forbidden?
Forsaken, A Nation Forsaken, right? I didn't remember either, but my secretary is filling in for us tonight.
Okay.
She remembers. So A Nation Forsaken is written by Michael Maloof. And
it's a good book. And it tries to do the job in layman's language to talk about these issues that we've been discussing. And very good. There's another book I'd recommend to people. It's called One Second After. And it's by Bill Fortune. It's been around now for 5 years, I guess. And Fortune is a historian. He's a professor in North Carolina, and he wrote a novel about what would life be like in Black Rock, or I believe that's the name of the little town over in the Smokies. you know, if they lost the, you know, if they lost the power, they lost the transportation, they lost all the things, you know, what would life be like? And at least in that little burg out in the middle of nowhere, they modified their habits and so on to have at least a chance at survival. At least many of the folks would. But one of the things, of course, that they point out is that if you're on medicine, you don't get your medicine, you know, and you, if you don't, you don't get food unless you grow it, and you don't have transportation. And of course, the government, such as it is, when it develops, it takes charge, you know. The National Guard, I believe, can be a big help, but the Guard can also be federalized, and in which case they may or may not be your best friend. So, I mean, it's if we don't prepare for this issue, and by that I mean I'm not trying to be negative about the National Guard. One of the problems with the Guard is they have not thought these issues through, which is why we're doing the exercise in South Carolina. And I'm working with the former Adjutant General in Virginia. We've teamed up to work these issues, and when we do this exercise, I hope we can do the entire Eastern Seaboard. From South Carolina and maybe down through Florida, but also up to the National Capital Region, so that we begin to wake people up who will be responsible if something like this begins to happen. And so we prepare in the first place by getting enough emphasis on the issue that industry and others begin to pay attention to hardening the grid as they should, and also to prepare to deal with the panic should an event like this take down some portion of the grid that we don't get to in time. You have to understand that the grid itself has vulnerabilities to various sorts. I mentioned earlier that physical attack can take major sections of the grid down. And instabilities within the grid, just to point this out, there was a tree that fell in Ohio, I believe it was, or a limb or something, I don't know, a number of years ago, and it blacked out the whole northeastern part of the United States for a significant period of time. So there are fragilities in the grid as it stands. Hopefully, you know, that's been taken care of. There's big concern among many people now about cyber threats being a way to take down the grid, and that's a serious threat. So EMP is one of a set of problems that the electric power industry needs to take seriously and assure that we can protect the grid. Some things need to be stockpiled. Other things we don't stockpile, probably can't stockpile, and they need to be hardened to survive.
Amen to that. And I've actually read that book 1 second after I recommend it. Oh, we actually can't carry too much, but we do carry the book, The Nation Forsaken, by Michael Maloof, who actually certainly worked with this issue and quit his government job to go on a crusade to try to reach people and let them know. And that's the book we carry. It's called A Nation Forsaken, but the 1 second after. If you want to read a good novel, he does an excellent, excellent job with that. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not an imaginary Sunday threat. It's a very real threat. And the fact that you're not hearing about this on a regular basis, and they focus our attention on Benghazi, where 4 people died, and we hear over and over again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the deaths of tens, if not hundreds of millions of Americans. Tens, if not hundreds of millions of Americans. And I can repeat that again, but the important thing is you understand that this is what the people who've studied this really are talking about, and you're not hearing about it. Our telephone number, if you have a question for the ambassador, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And certainly there are congressmen back there in Washington, D.C., who are very concerned. They formed a caucus. They worked together to try to get this information out. And, of course, you're never hearing about them. And Congressman Roscoe Bartlett headed this group for a number of years, and they sort of gerrymandered him out of office, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and he's still serious. He's off the grid, by the way. He's living over in Maryland, you know, up in the western part of the state, and he's off the grid. I mean, he has his own, I think he's in his late 80s now, but he is still going at this issue, and he on occasion speaks out still. But he's a real institution, and he was one of the prime movers to get the commission set up in the first place, and he was the one who tabled the first GRID Act. I should point out that last week, Democrat Senator Markey, who in the House had been supportive of the GRID Act originally, and Congressman Democrat Waxman from California reintroduced the GRID Act. And I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out. At least they're going to have an initiative beginning in the Senate with Markey's support, and Democrats are in control there. Maybe they'll be able to shake something loose out of the Senate that the House will again be confronted with from the other side. I don't know. Waxman, I'm not sure what kind of weight, in addition to what already exists, he's going to have with Upton in the House and getting things started. And there are many things I disagree with those two gentlemen about, but I'll be frank with you, survival, I'm with anybody who wants to help.
And I laugh because, of course, I crossed swords with the Congressman Waxman over the AIDS issue 20 years ago, let's see, 1983, 1984, 1985, I was testifying back in Washington, D.C., and he was on the other side, and I didn't have very much good to say about him or to think about him, but he's on the right side on this issue. And basically, I just hope that he can have some effect. And basically, the people who studied it, Democrats or Republicans, if they really understand this, why they're shocked and horrified and they do something about it. But the congressmen are so busy. They have so many issues. They're being hit from all sides. They don't have time to read and study. And unless you're on a specific commission or committee that is actually setting this, I would say that the average congressman really does not understand the enormity, the overwhelming, the devastating, the terrifying, as in the enormity of this problem. It's not imaginary. It is really very real. And if we were to have an EMP attack, even simply if only one part of our country were wiped out with this, why it would be to really destroy a large part of the infrastructure of this country, and millions of people, if not tens, if not hundreds of millions of people would die. And when you say that, it sounds so ridiculous. I think most people think that couldn't be true.
Couldn't possibly be true. But regrettably, it is. And I'll tell you one more thing that's troubling. Today, I got sort of a report from what Congress is considering right now based on the testimony they've received from the administration. And the missile defense issues, what I'm talking about, they're doing absolutely nothing to deal with this threat. Absolutely nothing.
And, of course, basically there are other threats besides this from nuclear weapons. But, basically, this would be the one that could wipe us out without, initially killing anybody. It would be a matter of weeks, though, before the chaos would sweep across America. Well, if you have a question for Ambassador Cooper, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Well, Ambassador Sidney, as we look at this thing and this story unfolding, how long have you actually been on the front lines of this battle?
Well, I got spun up about a year and a half ago when I discovered the stagnation in the Congress. I couldn't believe it. And that's when I turned full force on worrying about EMP. Of course, I've been an advocate for missile defense for many, many years. I worked on very early programs going back to the 1960s when I was at Bell Laboratories. But and then I ran the missile defense programs for the country. I was the acquisition executive that started many of the systems that we have now. But so I've been on the missile defense front lines for most of my career. But EMP, I was party to worrying about EMP and other nuclear effects in the 60s and 70s. But I thought after the commission was formed and so on, we'd be taking care of it. And I don't know, I hadn't been paying attention either. I learned about a year and a half ago about the problems we were having getting things out of the Congress. And that's when I began to devote most of my time to trying to wake up the local people, because Washington is so broken that nothing constructive seems to be happening here.
And you've been back in Washington, D.C. for the better part of 30 years, haven't you? More than that.
Well, over 30 years.
Okay. Well, and of course, for those of you who don't know, Ambassador Cooper was certainly head of the commission under the Reagan administration to work with the Soviets on disarmament. Anyway, let's go to Kurt, who's calling us from Monterey. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Kurt, do you have a question for our guest?
I had a quick comment. In April or May of 1966, I was in a carpool going to San Jose State. And once in a while, the driver's older brother, who was head of the Communist Party in San Jose, would ride with us. And he told me that at that time, throughout the power grid across the United States, in remote places, under power towers, dynamite was buried, and that at a code word over the radio on network news or something, they would blow the whole country. And that, he assured me, absolutely was in place in 1966.
Well, I don't know why they haven't used it since then, or maybe there's a whatever it is. But thank you very much, Kurt. Appreciate you letting us know that. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No. I just wanted to make that public.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest is Ambassador Henry Cooper. Again, his website is www.highfrontier.org. Highfrontier.org. And then there's another website, www.stopemp.org. Stopemp.org. Are there any other sites, anything else we should let our listeners know about?
Well, the Institute for Foreign Policy Analysis, I think that's www.ifpa.org. I think it's, or maybe it's edu.org. I believe it is. They lead something called the Independent Working Group on Missile Defense or National Security. High Frontier is a charter member of that group, and they are strong advocates on EMP issues as well.
And ladies and gentlemen, there are people back in Washington, D.C., and I've talked to them, and they're very concerned about this. And the fact that you are not concerned, because nobody's telling you, this is why I do what I do 5 hours a day. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes prostate support and recommends it. And thousands of men take prostate support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try prostate support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope you paid attention to what Ambassador Henry Cooper was saying, because I think this is one of the greatest threats facing you, facing America, facing humanity today, is the very real threat of an EMP attack, which would destroy the infrastructure of the United States literally instantaneously, and would take us back to the way we were in the 1850s. Now, we do carry an excellent 4-CD set. It's called The Threat of an EMP Attack. And I'm not going to give you a lot of things, so if you'd like to get a copy of tonight's talk, my interview with Ambassador Cooper, and I should point out Ambassador Cooper is a personal friend. We've known him for probably 15 years, and he's been out to speak at our conference, and you can get a copy of his talk at our conference from Radio Liberty, or certainly you can get the 4-CD set, certainly The Threat of an EMP Attack. Or you can certainly get the book, A Nation Forsaken, by Michael Maloof. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You must understand that this is not theoretical. This is a very real threat. And the question is, if it's a real threat, why are we talking about it? If it's a real threat, why is suddenly just one person in the House of Representatives blocking it, or, as happened a number of years ago, was a unanimous voice vote by the Congress in favor of doing something and remedying the situation? One person in the Senate was able to block this from being done to protect America and save tens of millions, if not 100 or 200 million lives. So, ladies and gentlemen, certainly if you go up on the internet and look this up, the general who was in charge of the Congressional Commission that investigated the threat of an EMP attack said that we could lose as many as 90% of the American population. Lose 90% of the American population. I'm sure you can verify that on the internet. And if you can't, give us a call. We'll get the information for you. I am not simply exaggerating. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm trying to be realistic. And what bothers me is I seldom get calls from anybody. I guess it sounds so ridiculous it couldn't be true. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The 4-CD set is The Threat of an EMP Attack. The book, A Nation Forsaken. A Nation Forsaken. And the DVD would be the talk given by Ambassador Henry Cooper when he was here at our conference talking about this. And it's well worthwhile getting them, or getting several of them. You need to get the information. And what can you do? Well, you have our permission to copy anything that we have done and produced, as long as you're not producing it for profit. If you need to make a few dollars to cover your expenses, that's fine. But get this information out to other people. Get them to understand that the threat is very, very real, and we need to do something about it, and try to raise the question in people's minds, why aren't we doing what is logical when we're talking about the deaths of tens of millions, if not 100 or 200 million Americans? And ladies and gentlemen, not imaginary, real. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get that. Brotherhood of Darkness, why? Because if you read my book, you may very well understand how this all fits together. So again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Because we ask you to go to our website and to watch our DVDs. We ask you to listen to our programs, and you can get them there. It's only 4 hours a day live and 24 hours a day archived, and read our newsletters, and read the section, Other News Around the Net, News Around the Net, I believe it is. And then, of course, help us get the information out across America right now.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Greig, who's formerly senior editor of the New American magazine and worked for Republic magazine. He's been a consultant for various organizations across America. He's a prolific writer. He writes the monthly newsletter for Radio Liberty. And certainly he has his own radio program, and then he's good enough to be with us every Friday at this time. William, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Well, Dr. King, it's always an honor and a blessing to be with you.
What are we going to be talking about tonight?
I think we have to talk about something that we've addressed on more than one occasion, but has achieved a new saliency, and that is the overtly totalitarian nature of the cultural revolutionary left, which is coming into a certain ripeness now. And I suspect that it's because, first of all, in the person of Barack Obama, and more importantly, the oligarchy who supports and whom Mr. Obama represents, you've got a vanguard here, which is broadly and overtly sympathetic to the most radical demand of the cultural revolutionary left, which has been gestating in our country in academe for many, many decades. And this is something, of course, is an outgrowth of the 18th century so-called Enlightenment. And I emphasize so-called Enlightenment, the qualifier here, because there were elements of what happened in the 18th century that did represent genuine moral and intellectual progress. I don't disparage an era that produced people such as, for instance, Jefferson and Madison, and some of the genuinely sound economic thinkers in pre-revolutionary France. Many of the people in the early 18th century British academic realm who were promoting individualism are, of course, ancestors of the contemporary American libertarian movement. But these are all people I find very estimable. There were a lot of good things that happened in that decade, in that century. Unfortunately, there was also this movement to overthrow the moral foundation of Western culture and to supplant it with a view that radically denied the innate worth of the individual as a special creation of a personal creator. And it was that element of the revolutionary movement of the 18th century that gave rise to the French Revolution, which, of course, catalyzed the totalitarian movement that was the ancestor of modern communism and other variants of totalitarianism. Every modern totalitarian movement is an offshoot and descendant of the French Revolution.
And I think it's really so important that we reiterate what you're saying. There were two major forces or philosophies there in the 18th century. One, of course, was the libertarian movement that went along with Jefferson and Adams and others, and they really believed that what we wanted to do was limit the power of government so men could be free. And then, of course, there was the other force that was behind the French Revolution that wanted to simply do away with the existing structure, the monarchies of Europe. But they wanted to replace it with a new monarchy under a new ruling elite who had a different attitude that was going to regulate every aspect of society and liberty, equality.
Annually, there is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is talking about certainly the philosophies that were expressed, and he was simply quoting one man who was certainly trying to warn the people about the dangers of these philosophies of the French Revolution and this whole idea of collectivism. Why, my goodness, we're going to have forced equality, but of course you cannot have everybody equal. Somebody's got to be in charge, and that, of course, was what most people didn't understand. All of these revolutionary movements, the French Revolution, sounded wonderful. Liberty, equality, fraternity. But the liberty, of course, was you would have to be able to do what you were told to do by the government. Equality was everybody would be equal, except, of course, the ruling elite who would be in charge. And fraternity, this brotherhood of man, for creating this wonderful utopian society, but, of course, with no freedom. Go right ahead, William. But who was this gentleman who was warning against it?
His name was Louis Ferron. And as I mentioned before the break, he was somebody who had many roles. in pre-revolutionary French society, combating the influence of people who called themselves the philosophes or the lovers of reason. And you had in that group, of course, the encyclopedias. You had Diderot and D'Alembert, people like Voltaire and Rousseau, who really pretty much despised each other and disagreed about some important things, but they were joined to their mutual hatred for Christian society. Voltaire, Jean-Francois Ariel, was somebody whose calling card, his rallying cry was, "Écrase les hommes," let's crush the wretch, and by the wretch he meant Christianity. He's, of course, notable for saying that mankind will be free when the last king is strangled in the entrails of the last priest. And it was the face of these people, in the teeth of this so-called crusading reason and tolerance, that Louis Ferron said, is not the fanaticism of your irreligion more absurd and more dangerous than the fanaticism of superstition? You talk of nothing but tolerance, but never was a sect more intolerant than yours. And there was a broadly stated contemporary of Ferron, a man by the name of Guillaume-François Berthier, who was a, if I'm not mistaken, he was a Catholic abbot, and he was a scholar, and he was also somebody who wrote the broadsides and the newspapers of the day. And in the years leading up to the French Revolution, Berthier also spoke out against this repressive tolerance of the so-called lovers of reason. He said that the custom has been to call philosophers those who attack revealed religion and persecutors who battle for its defense. And Berthier also pointed out that while the Christian side, the traditionalist side of this cultural war of the 18th century in Europe, was accused of being fanatical and violent, that the so-called lovers of reason displayed a tendency toward violence that greatly outstripped any of the impulses that they were condemning on the part of the traditionalists. This was all something that was being discussed in the 1750s and 1760s before the seizure that was organized by a covert revolutionary network in France that led to the French Revolution of 1789. And this happened under the reign of a king who was to some extent despot, but he was a reformist king. Louis XVI was not the Sun King. He wasn't Louis XIV. He wasn't somebody who was oppressive and tyrannical and absolutist. He was somebody who inherited a machinery of repression from his predecessors, but he was actually working in the direction of reform when the revolution took place. And he inherited, of course, a huge debt because France had been involved in a war with England in the 1760s, the Seven Years' War, that led to France being chased out of the North American continent. By way of revanchism, France decided to help the infant American colonial confederations, rebellious colonies, before they became the United States under the Constitution. We benefited greatly from French intervention, but it's something that drove France deeply into debt, and debt begat revolution, and revolution was something that certain people around Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminized Freemasonic fraternity wanted to precipitate. They brought about this huge paroxysm of violence in France that was informed by the so-called philosophies of all these people who have been agitating for decades to destroy what remained of France's Christian culture. And France, of course, had been a Roman Catholic nation for most of its existence. It was called the First Daughter of the Church. And there had been some admittedly horrible examples of internecine Christian persecution. One cannot understate, for instance, the abominable violence of the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre, and the wars that ensued between Huguenots and the Catholics, and the cynicism of people like Henry of Navarre, who said that Paris is worth a mass, and after leading the Huguenots to victory, decided he was always a Roman Catholic all along, at least for the purposes of his political career. You see that sort of opportunism on the part of American politicians today, of course. But France, after 1789, was in the process of becoming de-Christianized and becoming very much secularized and proto-totalitarian. And all these totalitarian movements of the 19th and 20th centuries, all of them flow out of the polluted headwaters of the French Revolution. And it's all based on this idea that the revolutionary movement, because they represent the forces of history, because history is on their side, and they seek to liberate mankind from the dead hand of the past, these people have no restrictions on what they're permitted to do to others. They are the who, and we are the whom, to use Lenin's category. I've referred before, both in the newsletters, Dr. Stan, and on the program, to a perfectly horrible editorial that was published in the, I believe, December 1917 or January 1918 edition of a Soviet newspaper called Krasny Mech, which means the Red Sword. It was a publication of the Soviet Cheka, which would become the KGB. And what they said, in so many words, and I'm paraphrasing from memory, is to us, everything is permitted because we represent a new revolutionary view of morality. We are the first movement that seeks to overthrow all oppression, and because of this, there are no limits on what we can do. Blood, let blood flow like water, because only by killing the old world can the new world be summoned into existence. And in that editorial, you have a restatement of something that Dostoevsky had written about in his literature, Russian literature of the 19th century. Peter Dostoevsky had been briefly part of the nihilist movement in Russia, part of the revolutionary underground. And in his book, The Possessed, he talks about the revolutionary mindset. And one of the revolutionaries in that novel, which was basically Romana Kleff, it was a literary expression of the experience that Dostoevsky had had while in that underground. One of the revolutionaries said, the great secret is that because there is no God, everything is permissible. And that's something that was stated in that Soviet editorial, Krasny Mech, in 1917-1918. I can't remember the specific date. And that's the essential ethos of the revolutionary movement. Because we're all simply random factors in an unsponsored universe, and some of us are wiser than others because some of us supposedly are at a higher evolutionary level than the rest, some of us are entitled to rule over others, and there can be no limit on what they can do. Because after all, there's no accountability. There are no absolute standards of right and wrong. What we can do to others and get away with represents something that is self-evidently moral. And as long as we are the who, as long as we are those who are blessed by the anointing of history to rule over others, then everything we do to the whom is justified. So what does it matter in that transaction? You just have to make sure that the right who and the right whom have been designated. And that's the ethos of the revolutionary left. Now, I talked about the way that those people, the ancestors of today's politically correct totalitarians, how they reasoned, such as it was, back in the 18th century. In the mid-20th century, because of the influence of the Frankfurt School of Cultural Marxism and people like Theodore Adorno and so forth, we ended up with a movement called the New Left. And the New Left is basically the modern reification of the philosophers of the 18th century. And among them was a fellow by the name of Herbert Marcuse. He's often been referred to as the father of the New Left. He was very much a product of the Frankfurt School. Back in 1965, he wrote an essay, a very influential seminal essay entitled Repressive Tolerance, that taught that liberating tolerance doesn't mean that you tolerate people who express and embody and promote supposedly reactionary or throwback perspectives on morality and society. This is what Marcuse wrote. Liberating tolerance, then, would mean intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. That's Lenin's who-whom dichotomy. The right has no rights, the left has all rights, the left is the who, and the right is the whom. He continued, surely, no government can be expected to foster its own subversion, but in a democracy, such a right is vested in the people, that is, the majority of the people. This means that the ways should not be blocked on which a subversive majority could develop. And if they are blocked by organized repression and indoctrination, their reopening may require apparently undemocratic means. They would include the withdrawal of toleration of speech and assembly from groups and movements which promote aggressive policies, armament, chauvinism, discrimination on the grounds of race and religion, or which oppose the extension of public services, social security, medical care, and etc. Once again, they would include the withdrawal of toleration of speech and assembly from groups and movements which promote, now to paraphrase, traditionalism or political conservatism or limited government or the preservation of traditional morality. And in contemporary terms, of course, what the Marcusean repressive tolerance doctrine would dictate is that if you were a property owner in, say, the state of New Mexico, and I've talked about this before, and you have a business doing wedding photography, and you decide that you do not want to accept the business of a so-called same-sex couple in order to celebrate their commitment ceremony, then you don't have property rights, and you could be fined by the state human rights Soviet and potentially put out of business and face criminal sanctions simply for refusing to provide your services. On the other hand, if you're a gay hairdresser in the city of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and you decide not to extend your services to the governor of the state because you don't like her views on so-called same-sex marriage, then your property right is to be respected. You see, it's the same exercise of property rights on the case of both businessmen, but one of them represents traditionalism, the other one represents progressivism, represents the so-called wave of the future. And so repressive tolerance would dictate that we deny the property rights of the first and we celebrate the property rights of the second. That's how the cultural totalitarians of the left have redefined the debate, and they are rampaging in our country right now at the expense of the liberty of everybody.
And of course, this is because they've turned their back on God, upon right and wrong. They say there is no God. It's whatever we say is right. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a God, and there's going to be a terrible price to pay for ignoring him.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
And we're heard him instantly talking about the fact that he was watching television. He doesn't ordinarily. He was put in a place where he had to have a watch. He doesn't have television at home. But because for one reason or another, he was put in a position where he had to watch this television program. And because it was a series, the storyline was the marriage of these two very photogenic homosexual men. Oh, this wonderful situation where two men have the opportunity to express their love and get married and pick up the story with him.
Yeah, I should specify it was the laundromat. That's the only reason why it would have been within visual range of a television. But this was done following the standard tropes and themes and setting of an actual marriage. And I very carefully made sure that my wife, Corinne, didn't see this because I could only have imagined, and it didn't take much imagination. I can only have imagined what her reaction would have been. It probably would have been volcanic. But this is something that was done not because it's a ratings booster, but because there are people who are agents, change agents within the entertainment industry who are using these visual images in order to promote a certain message. As I pointed out, this isn't really something that's taking place very widely and prominently in our culture right now. The reason why this is happening is because there's an institution that's under assault, not because there is so-called movement, liberation movement that is seeking to impart rights to people. It's not about liberating homosexuals who are repressed. In other words, it's about tearing down an institution that the totalitarian left wants to dispose of, and that's the conventional family. And to that end, you have the network that was described in the Reese Committee hearings 60 some odd years ago, the network of tax exempt foundations and other people who are described in leftist literature, such as there's a tremendously valuable essay, Dissent magazine from 1996, I believe it's written by Michael Walzer, talking about disciples of Antonio Gramsci who want to bring about cultural revolution. They're promoting these social, so-called reforms and the use of the news media in order to eradicate traditional culture, because they understand that if you want to have complete consolidation of power, you have to destroy all the intermediary institutions between the individual and the state. The most important is the family. That's the most intimate, that's the most significant, and quite frankly, you cannot have a society worthy of the name unless the family is attacked. The welfare state has been doing tremendous damage to the family in this country for many decades. It's almost completely destroyed in some cities, the black family, making black children effectively the wards of the state. This is something that was planned by the Fabians in Great Britain back in the 1880s, 1890s. You can read the literature of H.G. Wells on that subject, where he talked about the use of welfare systems to make the wife effectively the consort or the concubine of the state, and to make all children the wards of the state. That's something about which H.G. Wells and the Webbs were very candid. That's happened in the inner cities, and it's happening with the larger American population. It's gone well beyond the African-American subpopulation in our culture, and the so-called Euro-American population has been ravaged by the welfare state as well. Now we have this cultural assault taking place to create so-called families that are nulliparous, that is to say, they cannot have issues. You cannot, obviously, given the intractable realities of biology, and they are intractable, let's be candid about it. There are certain things that are defined by, if you will, the anatomical plumbing of an individual. These so-called unions, by definition, cannot beget children. That means that children have to be redistributed somehow, or you have to introduce another element into this dyad that is biologically capable of begetting children or conceiving children. And so you have a situation where the family, by definition, cannot be autonomous. The so-called modern family, which is the name of a perfectly execrable and ideologically reprehensible sitcom, the modern family is defined by Hollywood and by the cultural elite, is incapable of autonomy. It has to be plugged into the state. That's the whole point of this. And it has nothing to do with the validating the individual rights, the property rights of homosexuals. It has nothing to do with protecting homosexuals against violence. It has nothing at all to do with, even with the religious questions here. What these people are after is the destruction of the state in order to consolidate. a power, and nobody will benefit from this, including the people in whose name these revolutions are being waged. They don't care at all about what's going to happen to individuals, gay, lesbian individuals, after the state acquires total power. And historically, if you take a look at the way that they've been treated by totalitarian regimes, whether Soviet or Nazi, that's something that does not augur well for the future of their individual rights and dignity once the people who are using them right now have seen the consummation of their evil desires.
And I think that's really so vitally important. Most average homosexual doesn't understand that they are being used. So the force behind this legitimizing, you know, same-sex marriage is not primarily homosexual, and yet the average homosexual doesn't understand that.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
And certainly, William is saying and reiterating what I really believe, and that is that there are a lot of people who are pushing the homosexual agenda who are not homosexuals. Why would they do that? Well, they want to destroy society. They want to destroy the moral fabric of our society. They want to encourage depravity. They know exactly what they're doing. And of course, if you study the fate of the homosexuals in Hitler's Germany, it was the homosexuals who originally organized to get Hitler into positions of power, the brown shirts, and then came the Night of the Long Knives, and they simply slaughtered thousands and thousands of homosexuals. Nobody ever talks to that today. Most homosexuals don't understand the background of it. It was the homosexuals who brought Hitler to power, and then it was the people who surrounding Hitler who slaughtered in the night of the long knives the homosexuals. I fear that something similar may happen here in the United States. There are homosexuals, a lot of them who certainly are not political activists, who are not out there on the front lines, understand that the power behind homosexuals is not the homosexuals themselves, but this demonic force that permeates every aspect of our society. Would you agree or disagree with that, William?
Oh, I emphatically agree with that. And I would say, furthermore, not only are they not, for the most part, homosexuals themselves, they could care less about what happens to homosexuals. They could care less what happens to anybody, obviously. But as I was saying before, the type of people who make revolutions generally are willing to dispose of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, or millions of people, the same people in whose name they have fomented revolutions. You mentioned what happened in the National Socialist Revolution in Germany, how Ernst Rehm and the Brown Shirts, who were the shock troops of the Nazi rise to power, were disposed of with exceptional prejudice in 1934, as soon as their usefulness as an instrument for consolidating power had been expended. And you had homosexuals by the hundreds of thousands sent to the camps, and they died along with Jews and Christians and gypsies, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other people who had been rounded up as undesirables or as refractory opponents of the regime. And I think that the same kind of dynamics are obvious right now. I do think that the people who are behind this, what we could call the after the ball strategy here, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, I think they are, for the most part, cynically exploiting a contentious and politically profitable movement for their ends. Their ends are, as you say, diabolical. Now, After the Ball was the name of a book that was published in the late 1980s by a psychologist named Marshall Kirk and an advertising guru by the name of Hunter Madsen. And After the Ball outlined a cultural and entertainment and media strategy for reconfiguring public attitudes about homosexuality. What they said, and I'm quoting now from this book, the first order of business is the desensitization of the American public concerning gays and gay rights. To desensitize the public is to help it view homosexuality with indifference rather than keen emotion. You can forget about trying to persuade the masses that homosexuality is a good thing. But if only you can get them to think that it's just another thing, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. That was the first step of the strategy. And when I was talking a few minutes ago about this soap opera, of which I saw a small portion yesterday, that's a really good example of what they're talking about. Now, the next stage, according to Kurt and Madsen, after the public has been persuaded that moral indifference is somehow a virtue, is that homosexuals should be able to use the mass media to portray gays as victims in order to elicit sympathy and to trigger the natural protective instinct of people. And that's something that has been done very well. It was done, I think, to excess, but with great success in the 1990s, perhaps starting with the Oscar award-winning movie Philadelphia, starring the most likable and bankable actor in Hollywood, Tom Hanks, in a role that won, I think, his first Oscar as a homosexual attorney from Philadelphia who is suffering from AIDS. So once the public has been lured into believing that decency requires the support for protective legislation and social policies for homosexuals, then they move beyond that to the point where they apply Herbert Marcuse's repressive tolerance. Kirk and Madsen continue. At a later stage of the media campaign for gay rights, it will be time to get tough, to be blunt. Traditionalists must be vilified. The public should be shown targets, or rather images, of ranting homophobes. By the way, homophobia is a word that is a literate coinage. It really doesn't make any sense. Of ranting homophobes whose secondary traits and beliefs disgust middle America. These images might include the Ku Klux Klan demanding that gays be burned alive or tortured, bigoted Southern ministers drooling with hysterical hatred to a degree that looks both comical and deranged. I believe that was a role that was played by the late and largely unlamented Fred Felt. I don't know who was funding him. I do know that the so-called Westboro Church had access to public events and access to funding, which suggests that they were being bankrolled by somebody. And I'm just cynical enough to believe that in this post-COINTELPRO world, where the federal government is the business of keeping creating, at least keeping radical movements alive that are unsavory and unappetizing, that Fred Phelps and his little coterie were probably funded by some of the same people who bankroll the neo-Nazi groups that continue to fester in spite of the fact that they have no other visible means of support, and the few fleeting, embattled, pathetic remnants of the Ku Klux Klan. So what you have here in this after-the-ball strategy is the type of program that would have perhaps engendered the admiration of Joseph Goebbels because it's so cynical and so dishonest. And they made a point here of associating everybody who is not actively supporting the movement with the most disreputable and unsavory elements of people of the population who supposedly cling to retrograde attitudes, such as the idea that homosexuals, rather than being shared, having people share with them how they can go to heaven, sending them to hell. That's something that I never understood, is that there is a small group of people who, when dealing with fellow sinners, whose sins are particularly conspicuous and revolting, they're more interested in sending those people to hell than they are in teaching them how to get to heaven. You have the same kind of conflict, quite frankly, with Muslims. You know, I'm much more interested in trying to share with Muslims how, you know, who God really is, and what he really seeks to accomplish, than I am with vaporizing them or turning this into a conflict against 1.8 billion people. I don't really have much appetite for that. But there's a similar dynamic here where there's a handful of people like the late Fred Phelps who were totems. They were shaken at this ritually to try to provoke people to saying, well, I'm not like him. I'm tolerant. I'm on board with this agenda rather than being freely associated with the likes of Fred Phelps. Now, back in 1993, I first became aware of a man by the name of Mel White. I don't know if he's still among the living. He'd been a speechwriter for a lot of very prominent people in the Christian right, such as Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. I believe that he was somebody who had ghostwritten for Pat Robertson. I'm pretty sure that he was involved in writing a lot of the work that Jerry Falwell had published under his name. He created a group back in 1993. As it turns out, Mel White was a closeted homosexual who became a cleric in the Metropolitan Community Church, which is a self-identified homosexual denomination. And in an interview with Larry King on August the 13th of 1993, he said that he was a member of ACT UP, the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. I don't think they're still in business. Really, the interesting thing about ACT UP is that they used as their organizing manual none other than Mein Kampf. They digested from Mein Kampf the tactics that Hitler and his homosexual stormtroopers had used 70 years earlier in their campaign to subvert and undermine Germany and to consolidate power. So this is a group that I think could legitimately be referred to as homo-fascist, if you want to use the left's habit of consolidating prefixes with words like fascist. But I think in this case it's descriptive, not merely pejorative. What he said to King was that he had declared personal war against the religious right, and he described the religious right as the enemy, a threat to the warp and woof of American society. And he said that the suffering from their rhetoric trickles down and causes death. In other words, they're made sinners because of what they say, not because of what they do, even when they're not overtly promoting violence, according to Mel White's exegesis. Preachers, from that perspective, are somehow morally responsible when somebody goes out and commits violence against homosexuals. And then he said the following, we, meaning homosexual activists, said Mel White, have gone underground, and we have people in every one of the religious rights organizations. We're on their mailing list. We're reading everything they're putting out. We think the words in their mouths trickle down into violence. When our evidence reaches a critical mass, we're going to use the best attorneys in this country to bring a class action suit in 50 states to have it stopped. Now, what does he mean by having it stopped? That seemed like something of an aberrant pipe dream in 1993. But however, in 2014, it seems in a way oddly prophetic because, as I mentioned before, you have this case of Elaine Huguenin in the state of New Mexico, where because she had refused to offer her services to a lesbian couple, she didn't, as a matter of fact, even state why she refused the service. She just simply said, we're not interested in your business. She didn't say we're not interested in your business because we don't support homosexual so-called marriage. She didn't say we refuse your business because we want to have nothing to do with you. She just said that that's not among the services that they provide. It was the couple who supplied the supposed motive for Elaine Huguenin. But they ended up having to pay $7,000 in fines, most of which was given to the couple to go out and pay for their so-called commitment ceremony. In other words, they were forced by the state government in New Mexico to pay for a ceremony that offended their religious sensibilities. And that's the same state where a gay hairdresser can refuse business because he doesn't like somebody's opinion about so-called same-sex marriage. You have a case in Colorado involving Baker that's very similar. You have a couple of cases in Oregon and Washington that are very similar. And, you know, this is the same kind of thing that Mel White was talking about. These people are not out actively agitating against so-called homosexual marriage. They're simply demurring. They're not allowing themselves to be caught up in the debate by simply trying to withdraw from it. What they're being told is that they cannot withdraw from it. They cannot demur. Anything other than overt enthusiastic support is now considered criminal. In the case in Colorado, there's a baker who may end up going to jail because he didn't want to accept business from a so-called same-sex couple. And, of course, this is in Denver. Denver is lousy with bakers who'd be very happy to give business to that couple. As it happens, the couple had to go to Boston to celebrate their so-called union because in Colorado, as in New Mexico, the state government does not recognize the validity of so-called same-sex marriages. But here's an even more pointed version of what Mel White was talking about. Chief executive of Mozilla, Brendan Eich, has been forced to resign his job, and I'm reading now from USA Today, due to intense pressure from activists who want to redefine marriage. What outraged the activists was something Eich did 6 years ago. He made a $1,000 donation in support of Proposition 8, which defined marriage as between a man and a woman. Eich's views on same-sex marriage earned him the ire of a dating website called OkCupid, which drew attention to Eich's position by urging their members not to use Mozilla's internet browser, Firefox, to visit the dating site. Eich's position, let us remember, opines this author. I believe her name is Katrina Trinko. She's an editorial writer for USA Today. Eich's position, let us remember, is not some extreme mindset. It is a position that until 2012 was shared by none other than President Barack Obama, who only announced his evolution after Vice President Joe Biden's comments on the topic made it impossible for him to dodge the question any longer. Across the country, 33 states define marriage as a union of a man and a woman. In California, it was not some small bigoted population that voted for Proposition 8, but a diverse coalition. According to exit polls, 7 out of 10 African-American voters backed Proposition 8, as did over half of Latino voters. And now, just 6 years later, supporting Proposition 8 is a position deemed by some to be so extreme that a company apparently felt they could not justify having a CEO who believed that. That's precisely what the After the Ball strategy talked about, precisely what Mel White was talking about in 1933. And it follows with uncanny accuracy Herbert Marcuse's formula for repressive tolerance. And, of course, it's all based on Lenin's Iron Fist credo, who does what to whom. These people have control of the commanding heights of much of the culture. They have more than a little bit of influence within the political and economic realm. And they're being manipulated, most importantly, by people within the power elite who are seeking to use them in order to consolidate their power.
And I'm going to have to interrupt you there. I agree with everything you're saying. You're absolutely right. And people must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that one of these days God is going to bring his judgment on this country. And I fear for the homosexuals. We know what happened in the night of the long knives in Hitler's Germany. And I fear something similar will happen. And I do not want to see that happen to the homosexuals in this country. I may disagree with them, but I do not wish any violence upon them at all. Our telephone number, pardon me, before we go on, I want you to get out your information. William, I want you to tell people how they can get to your website, how they can certainly read your material, how they can certainly listen to your program, and how they can get to your PayPal button. Why don't you introduce them to your ministry so they know they can follow what you're doing?
I really appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is the ProLibertate blog, which you can find at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time as one word, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. There's a PayPal button there at the side, the right-hand margin of the blog, and we also accept Bitcoin. I've got some reservations about Bitcoin, but if people are willing to send them to me, I'm willing to take them and convert them into silver or some such. I publish once a week or twice a week as my situation will permit. I just published a new essay today about a woman in central Utah named Sherry Watson who's having a horrible situation. She and her family are being driven out of their home because of deeply entrenched police corruption. And go read the story. Is this the sort of thing that would make an entertaining but perhaps implausible movie of the week? But unfortunately, it's all true. The website lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com, republishes a lot of what I write. And there's also a blog at lewrockwell.com, once again on the right-hand margin of the page. I contribute to that blog section as well. Lew Rockwell is the president of the Von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. My radio program is called Freedom Zealot Radio, and it comes on every 8 o'clock Mountain Time, every Saturday at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock in the evening Mountain Time. Saturday, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 p.m., 7 o'clock Pacific Time or 9 o'clock Central, on the Liberty News Radio Network. And to listen online, go to libertyroundtable.com, and there is a Listen Live Now button that you can click in order to hear the broadcast. It's a podcast. I recorded earlier in the week. It's an hour long. Once again, libertyroundtable.com, 8 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, Saturday night, for Freedom Zealot Radio. And then my YouTube account is also called Freedom Zealot, the Freedom Zealot channel. I'm on Facebook as well, William N. Grigg at Facebook, and a lot of what I post on my blog and elsewhere is redistributed through Facebook and Twitter.
And don't forget, there's a PayPal button at the bottom of every page. And then, of course, William writes the monthly Radio Liberty newsletter. I put a little remark at the end of it, but you'd be amazed at how many, certainly, remarks we get and replies and responses we get from people who read my newsletter written by William Grigg and are favorably impressed by it. Of course, you get that from RadioLiberty.com by calling us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. While the
storm cloud... Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-332-5589. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and listening to us and you agree with us and you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. And I realize that there are all sorts of ministries out there that need help, and I certainly... Well, all I can do is tell you that Radio Liberty, I think, is a unique approach because, of course, we talk to you not only what's happening politically, but about the spiritual forces behind what's happening going on politically. And suddenly we do 5 hours of talk radio, 5 days a week on a number of different networks. And we have a unique opportunity to reach people. In fact, we had our friend Paul McGuire on just a couple of nights ago, and he was commenting that he attended the prophecy conference in Florida this last weekend, and he had at least three people who came up to him to tell him that they'd actually heard of him on our radio program and how many of them actually record the radio program and actually play it in their car or other times. So we know we're reaching people out across America, and when you're part of the Radio Liberty family, you're part of our effort to reach people. And so the things that you could do if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can get the various health products we have, and you should be taking health supplements. I really believe this. We'd like you to get them from us. You don't have to. If you have a reliable company that you can really trust, but you should be taking vitamin D3 supplements in all probability, and magnesium, and you should be taking selenium, and certainly you should have other products on hand, such as alibiotic or mushroom products to boost your immune system. There are all sorts of things that you should be taking. We have a list, certainly, of the health products we carry, and if you'd like to get it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We carry soap products. Why? Well, because they seem to work better than regular products, and I wouldn't be without the Miracle 2 gel, which I put on my hair regularly, and my wife uses regularly, and we've had so many people with itches and with a pain and rashes that nothing else has helped, and for some reason or other it helps. It's a matter of trial and error, but certainly it's all these things are worthwhile having. And then we carry a line of spices, mainly because we've used them ourselves, we like them, but everything we do, of course, is aimed at trying to maintain the financial base so we can continue doing what we're doing and reaching you, because times are difficult for a lot of people. And well, if you're in a position, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free catalog, or certainly we'll send you a list of our health products or the books and the other things we carry. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Then if you have a product you might be interested in advertising with us, of course, we are not tax deductible, but if you advertise with us, it is a tax deductible expense. And if you're interested in doing that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Certainly our advertisers, people who advertise with us, have done very, very well. And we had a fellow just recently, one program, he got 136 orders for his product. And he was just as tickled as he could possibly be. Anyway, if you're interested in knowing more, 1-800-544-8927. Of course, if you go to our webpage, radioliberty.com, that's radioliberty.com, where you can watch certainly our DVDs. You can listen to our radio programs there live 4 hours a day and archived 24 hours a day. You can read our newsletters. We have a section up there called News Around the Net. And we actually post things I think are important there a couple of times every day. And you can go there, just News Around the Net. It's right up at the top of the page. And then we hope that many of you will certainly look at all the other things, all the other sites we have listed there. We think that this is important information for you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for American revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful.